and welcome to the Forbes India Cover Story podcast series in association with theindicast.com. My name is Abhishek, and this issue called Forbes India WPOWER List of Self-Made Women celebrates founders, authors, bureaucrats, actors, among others. Joining me on the call to talk about it all is Forbes India's Naini Thakur. Hi, Naini. Always fun talking to you. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Abhishek. Always fun speaking to you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And self-made, I read the letter from the editor, Brian Carvalho, where he goes into a little detail just to explain what self-made itself is. So before we get into some of the stories that you've done, what was the criteria for selecting the folks that have been featured in this particular issue? How did you go about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, when it comes to WPOWER, we wanted to focus on the fact that the women that we handpick across categories from, say, philanthropy to sports, as well as, you know, celebrities or entrepreneurs, they are all self-made, as in there's no backing that they've had. If I were to take a simple example of someone, say, for instance, in Bollywood, they don't have a godfather or a godmother of sorts in the industry, and they've risen through the ranks by themselves, their own hard work and their own ability. So I think for us, that was a key aspect. And across board, I think this year we have a fantastic list with some very, very powerful women. And also, I think one interesting criteria about our list, which would probably make us stand out from a lot of others, is also that we end up finding some very unknown gems. While they're very, very good in their own field, they might not be as recognized by, say, the mainstream media, you know. So I feel that we've done a fantastic job with this year, you know, from having like an Anganwadi worker like Ranima Das to probably Ruchira Gupta, or even for that matter, someone like Ruprekha Varma. So I feel like there are some beautiful hidden gems that, you know, the team has managed to come up with and put together for this list.
Right. And you've done two stories yourself of women who are relatively known in the circuit, and one of them being Ramesh Babu Vaishali, who's shot to fame more recently. She's just 22, you're right, and she's among the three women from India, or rather three women grandmasters from the country. Tell us about the experience of talking to someone like her.
I think it was fantastic, and given how grounded she is and just her talent is just phenomenal. The way in which she talks and the kind of direction and focus that she has, it just takes a lot to be extremely disciplined at such a young age. And in fact, it's not that, you know, being this disciplined is not very new for her and her brother. I mean, they've been professional chess players since they were literally kids, when their friends were probably having a gala time, hanging out after school with each other while they were traveling across the world, playing incredible tournaments with legends of chess. So I think that in itself is just incredible. And she's really, really come into her own, I feel, particularly in the last couple of years.
Right. And what I enjoyed was reading in the story is she was quite open in admitting that comparisons with her younger brother were inevitable, and that she wasn't always comfortable with it before she started enjoying the game herself.
So that in itself, you know, her admitting that and then that evolution that she had, where she sort of accepted that this is something that I'm going through and this is how I need to get over that. I feel like that in itself takes a lot, and the way she's overcome that. And I think like one of her coaches also mentioned how she's sort of gone through that entire transition and how she's evolved as a much better player now, to the point that she's, you know, all set to compete at the prestigious candidates tournament as well. So I think that's just incredible.
And chess itself as a game is gaining, you know, popularity in India. I know 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds in my colony where I live, they are being, you know, through the ringer, 1-hour sessions with chess coaches who these days are in demand. I think some of it is also down to people like Vaishali or Prag or Gukesh and many others who are in the papers. And it's gaining popularity as a sport, which wasn't the case when we were growing up, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think more so when it comes to women chess players, right? Mm. Like the number in itself tells us that Vaishali becomes like an icon for young girls who want to play chess. And it gives parents hope as well that if she could do it at such a young age, my kid who has so much talent can also do it. So I feel like she's an incredible inspiration for so many young girls out there.
Right. And how does she handle the pressure that comes with the reputation of the family itself, because over the years, you need a certain amount of points to even get there to be a grandmaster. So how has she handled the pressure? And she does talk to you about, you know, some of that as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think she has a very interesting process in terms of the way she trains her mind, the kind of games outside of chess that she would play to train herself, and sort of meditation to keep calm and routines like that to sort of focus on the game. And I think one interesting thing which you also mentioned, and I think that's something that most athletes talk about, is just trying to focus on enjoying your game instead of focusing on the result. And I think just focusing on the result, and she admitted, right, like focusing on the result bit of it also put too much pressure, which led her to her game getting affected in a sense. So I think once she stopped doing that and actually enjoying the process and the game itself, I think she's been doing better. So I think that sort of helped her quite a bit as well, and continues to help her.
Excellent. And moving on, you've also written about Kriti Sanon, who's a household name. For someone who's as well known, her beginnings, or rather not having a godfather, you alluded to Bollywood. She doesn't come from a family that had a history in the industry then.
Yeah. I think, again, Kriti is a very interesting name in a sense that she was an engineering student who then got into modeling, and then she realized that being in front of the camera is something that she actually enjoys. And then she started doing a lot of these ads, moved to Bombay, and then tried her hand with a little bit of acting. And then when she won the national award, when she took up something like Mimi, that, you know, really shot her to fame, where people actually started looking at her as a fantastic actor. And I think since then, things have really turned around for her in terms of the kind of roles that she takes. And I believe been quite smart in doing that as well. So I think she's one of those very recent actors in the industry today who can truly be called self-made, I feel.
And it's been quite fast, hasn't it? The kind of fame, the success, whatever you might call it. I think it was not more than a decade when she made her debut, and now she has her own production house, a skincare brand.
You know, she comes across as someone who's always been sort of very focused in terms of, while probably she would have been lost at certain points in terms of what she wants to do, a part of her, I feel like through my conversations with her, I felt like, you know, she always knew what she wanted. Even when she spoke about picking up her first movie as a debutante in Bollywood, I remember her telling me that I rejected a lot of projects before I took that up, because I was clear that I don't want to do something which I'm until I'm very sure of, you know. And for someone like that, you know, someone who's new to the industry, one would assume that he or she would just pick whatever comes their way, you know. So even with that, I feel like she's been very picky in terms of things like that, in terms of projects that she picks. And when it comes to Hyphen, which is the brand that she's co-founded with the M Caffeine team, so again, teaming up with someone who's been in the skincare industry for a really long time, they know what they're doing, they have their production set up, so they know they're experts at what they do, you know? So to tie up with someone like that and come up with her own skincare brand, again, extremely smart. And of course, she has her own production house, of which her first film is coming out very soon this year. So I think she's made very, very smart, calculative moves in her career. And I think that's got her to where she is today.
And she has the educational pedigree to back it up with as well. You talked about she being an engineer. And how did her parents, who had an educational bent, take it when she decided to choose this career over, say, the conventional one?
Yeah, I think I remember, again, her telling me that they wanted to sort of ensure that she had a backup, given that obviously any parent is bound to be extremely scared when you're about to enter an industry you know nothing about, right? They ensured that she completed her degree just in case she didn't make it in the industry. She always had a degree to fall back on. And I remember her, even in fact, when she moved to Bombay, when she was doing auditions and stuff, she was also taking up GRE classes just to ensure that, okay, just in case I don't make it here, I can still go and pursue an MBA and, you know, I have another career line. So I think in that sense, also, her parents were very supportive, but they also ensured that she had a backing in a sense.
Yes, I think it was a GMAT or some such, where the scores are valid for 5 years. So she did that, saying, okay, let me take a crack at the film industry then. And Bareilly Ki Barfi was the first movie where
yes,
that
absolutely.
We talked about with you, that, you know, that was the one where people started taking her seriously, as opposed to being just a heroine from who may have a few scenes, but the spotlight is on the hero. So, but it was Bareilly Ki Barfi that changed all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think till then, like she said, everyone saw me as a glam girl. And post that is when people actually noticed me as an actor, which was, I think, it's been an incredible evolution for her as well, I feel.
Lovely. And what are some of the other, you know, pieces that caught your attention while you were anchoring this piece that your colleagues have done? Quite a few essays across different industries of women who've made a mark in their fields.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have legends literally on this list. Someone like Anshula Kant, who's the MD and CFO of World Bank. We have Anu Iyengar, who's Managing Director and Global Head of M&A JP Morgan. Ashwini Bhide, Deepti Sharma, someone like Jhanvi Phalke. I think Jhanvi Phalke was an interview that Hari had when we also had another event which was clashing. So he decided to go for that particular interview because he was so excited about it. And later he told me how glad he was that he did that interview and actually missed out on that event. So yeah, I'm sure that
excellent.
All our reporters had a great time because these are all just lovely profiles. And again, someone like Jayanti Buru, Janice Perea, Manisha Karwa, who's like really risen to fame after, you know, being a part of the Forest Essentials campaign. So I think some very, very beautiful stories that have come out in this list. And yeah, I mean, you know, I really hope people enjoy reading it as well.
Yes, indeed. Urging everyone to pick this one up. And in the interest of time, thank you very much, Naini, for your time on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Abhishek. Thank you.
Thank you.